Daniel chapter 4. Title of the message, The Bad Made Whole. J.R.R. McGee is under the impression that Nebuchadnezzar is suffering from some sort of mental illness, perhaps hysteria, perhaps something along the lines of manic depression, in which one moment he could be fine and on top of the world and ready to just conquer anything and everything, and the next moment he would shrink in absolute dread and depression. As I was thinking about that, thinking about the bad, of course last week we looked at the madness of Nebuchadnezzar. I can't help but think about the shows like Criminal Minds and NCIS, and shows like that, CSI, in which always there's some sort of stressor. There's some sort of stressor that leads to a break in the unsub's life that causes him to act in such debased ways. That's what we're looking at here. We're looking at a man who had the entire known world under his reign and rule. And it goes to his head. He brags. And throughout this fourth chapter, he uses the words I and me and mine over and over and over again. And what was it that led to his madness? Look what I've done. Boom. God had withheld his mercy for a year. But Nebuchadnezzar nonetheless gave in to his own pride. And for 7 years, his kingdom was removed from him, and he roamed around the earth like an animal. His hair growing out. What do you and me think of when we think of madness? What do you think you and me think of when we think of mental health? Perhaps you know someone who's dealt with trauma or other types of experiences that have led them to make decisions that they would not make if they were whole. But what does God say? In this text we see healing, the sovereignty of God, and grace. And as I've said before, there's no indication that Nebuchadnezzar was a believer. There's no indication that Nebuchadnezzar ever came to the point of confessing Yahweh as God. He said some great things there at the beginning of chapter 4. Some things we would agree with. But there's no indication that he was part of the redeemed. And yet, in this text, we're going to see this madman give it to him. We're going to see the sovereignty of God in the healing of this madman. And God's grace given even to this man, there's no indication that he was ever saved. Daniel chapter 4, beginning in the 34th verse. But at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and whose kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth were reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven, but among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stay his hand or save him. What have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. And my counselors and my lords sought me out. Then I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you. We thank you that we can come to this word, and it's not just a story. It's not just a snippet. It's not just a few events taken from history to teach us some moral lesson. But we thank you that in this text we see the gospel. Indeed, we see the gospel throughout your canon. For your ways are not our ways, and your ways have not changed. The same way you saved your people in the Old Testament is the same way you save us. While they looked forward in faith to a time when your promises would be fulfilled, we look back and know that you kept your promises. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. Was not just for those within his time, but the atoning work of his blood stretched all the way back to Adam and all the way forward to the last person who would ever confess you as the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are a healer. Lord, we thank you that you are a sovereign God. And we thank you that you are a gracious God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 34a, we see healing. But at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven. My understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him who lives forever. Now, where we left off last week, Nebuchadnezzar could not have done that. Where we left off last week, Nebuchadnezzar had gone mad. He got to a point where his hair was grown out. His fingernails and toenails were grown out. He had got to the point where he was ravaging through the earth as a scavenger, as a dog, as an animal. But here, we don't see a scavenger. Here, we don't see a dog. Here, we don't see an animal. We see a man thinking clearly. Thinking clearly. But not thinking redemptively. See, it's easy for a lot of folks when they come to a text in the Old Testament like this to just kind of say, okay, well, Nebuchadnezzar represents evil, Daniel represents godliness, and you and me need to live like Daniel. But there's more to it than just that. This is not a moral story. God didn't just preserve this in his word to have something that we could say, okay, well, that's a nice example. Daniel is a type and a shadow of Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar is a type and shadow of me and you. Here in the first part of verse 34, he returns to the words of his testimony. He returns to the words of his testimony as we saw last week in the fourth chapter, in the first three verses. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all the peoples, nations, and languages who dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. As I've said previously, those sound like great words. They sound like the words that an evangelist could preach from a pulpit. They sound like the words that a pastor could preach from a pulpit. They sound like words of redemption, but there's no indication as we look throughout this book that Nebuchadnezzar was redeemed. He was impressed here, but he was unimpressed here. He knew the right things about God, but the right things about God hadn't gripped his heart. And so when we come to verse 34, the very first part of verse 34, he can think clearly. He can think rightly about God. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. And we're going to see that his actions haven't changed. We're going to see in the rest of the series that his actions do not change. God gives the unrepentant, the unredeemed, the unelect, a sort of common grace. Think about what Paul says in his letter to Romans. That those who are of this world, who have never heard the gospel, they can't look up into the heavens, they can't look into the sky, they can't look at creation, and in good conscience deny that there is a creator. There's a sort of common grace that Nebuchadnezzar has here. But that common grace that general revelation is not enough. You and me need special revelation. Think about Thomas. Jesus had risen. He appeared to 10 disciples in the upper room. They're excited. They're pumped. They had previously been cowering in fear. Jesus appears and they're pumped. They know that something is going to be different. And so they share their experience with Thomas. Whatever. Unless I'm able to place my fingers where the nail pierced, unless I'm able to put my hand in his side where the spear pierced, I will not believe. Will we know? Jesus comes again. Thomas is with them. Jesus says, Thomas, look, put your finger. Look, put your hand. Thomas says, okay, Lord, I believe. You call me, I believe. And what words Jesus words to Thomas? Blessed are you, for you have seen and believed. But blessed are they who have not seen. The common grace that Nebuchadnezzar received here, that general revelation that Nebuchadnezzar received here, blessed he is. He's seen. But he doesn't believe. Blessed are those, Thomas, who have not seen and yet believe. Who are those who have not seen? Every one of us. The apostles all saw the resurrected Lord in one way or another. you and me have not seen, but we've got the word of the eyewitnesses. We have not seen and we believe. In a way, you and me are blessed even beyond the disciples, because they saw and they believed. We believe on their testimony. Sovereignty of God, verse 34. Verse 35. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation, and the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Then he doesn't recognize the sovereignty of God. Perhaps even better than many Christians recognize the sovereignty of God. Perhaps even better than what folks today do. And who give lip service to the sovereignty of God, but don't really hold to it, aren't really that impressed with it. But here, Nebuchadnezzar states that God is sovereign. He knew that God was sovereign. Because think about what Nebuchadnezzar has experienced. He was at the top of his game. He was, remember that image in the dream? The golden head that Daniel said, you, O king, you're the golden head. In a very real sense, Nebuchadnezzar was the first in history, the first world ruler in history. And because he's the golden head, he has the entire known world at his command. But it was taken from him. For a span of 7 years. Turn with me to Romans 12. I'm sorry, not Romans 12. Romans 13.
There was a man, and we were approaching the election.
He asked me which way I thought the election was going to go. I said, well, it depends. If God's going to withhold his hand from us, withhold his hand of judgment from us, then he'll give us one guy. If God extends his hand of judgment, then he'll give us the other guy. And that's exactly what plays out throughout human history. God appoints folks like Nebuchadnezzar, who were instruments of judgment. Israel had sinned. They had defied the law of God. They had gone back on their covenant promises. They had gone back on what they promised in Joshua's time. Oh yeah, we're going to choose the Lord. We'll serve Him just like you do. You're not able. Yeah, we will. You're witnessing against yourself. Okay, we're witnessing against ourselves. Well, how'd that work out for them? They end up in Babylon. They end up under Nebuchadnezzar's rule. Nebuchadnezzar was God's instrument of judgment. This king was aware that God runs things. He may have had some awareness when Daniel's able to interpret that first dream. Remember, he told his soothsayer, the magician, the astrologer, and all of them, I'm not going to tell you what the dream is. And they're like, no, we can't do it that way. You've got to give us something so that we can give you the interpretation. It's like, no, you give me the dream and the interpretation. And Daniel said, okay, well, I can do it. We give him a little time. Let me meet with my friends. We're going to pray, and God's going to give me the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar had a form of awareness, and Daniel's able to give the dream and the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar has a form of awareness that God's in charge. When he looks in and says, wait a minute, didn't we throw three men up, but I see four? Didn't we tie three men up, but I see four loose? Didn't we send three men to the death, to their deaths, but I see four moving about praising God? He had an awareness. Then the kingdom was removed. That awareness was amplified. The king is aware that God controls the universe. Not only did God take the kingdom from him, but he debased Nebuchadnezzar. Not only did he debase Nebuchadnezzar, but as we see in verse 36 and 37, he restores something that was unseen in the world at that time. Verse 36 and verse 37. At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. And my counselors and my lords sought me out. Then I was established in my kingdom in excellent majesty with Abigail. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are true and his ways are just. Those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. At that time in history, for somebody to lose their kingdom, they would not be given an opportunity to move back into authority. The fact that God gives him the senses back and restores the kingdom to him, that is a sign of God's grace. The kingdom was restored to Nebuchadnezzar. Not only the kingdom, but his old officials come back to serve him. Think about how politics works in our day. If somebody loses an election, the folks who worked for him, they find other allegiances. But here, Nebuchadnezzar loses the kingdom, loses rulership, loses his humanity for all intents and purposes, is reduced to an animal for 7 years. God restored not only his rulership, that God brings his old staff back. And they not only work for him, but they serve him. They show their allegiance to him. That is God's grace. That doesn't happen in the human realm. It doesn't matter how much charisma somebody has. It doesn't matter how much skill somebody has. It doesn't matter how much education somebody has. That does not happen in the human realm. That is a sign of God's grace. The king's latter experience is greater than his former. It says, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors, my lord, sought me out. Then I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Not only was he restored, but he's given even more majesty. Not only was he restored, he was given more majesty. Remember how I said that Daniel is a type and a shadow of Jesus? Nebuchadnezzar is a type and a shadow of human being? And although he wasn't redeemed, although he wasn't one of the elect, think about it in terms of who we are as the elect. When we're made into new creatures in Christ Jesus, we're not just human with a little something added to it. We are brand new creatures. You are not who you were. Nebuchadnezzar was not who he was. Majesty was added to him. Respect was added to him. Honor was added to him. When you and me are made new creations, we're not just an updated version. You're not Chris 2.0. You are Chris, the new creation. You're a brand new Chris than what you were 40 years ago. The king knew of the power of the living and true God. And you know of the power of the living true God. I ask him, we can read about it. Yeah, we can read about it. We can know about that. We can know here about the power of the living and true God. But do you know it here? Do you experience it daily? Do you experience the power of the living and true God daily? Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by your Spirit. Lord, each of us were a part of that valley of dry bones. Dead, decayed, no hope, no future. But you chose in yourself make those bones live. You chose in yourself to make these bones live. You've raised each of us in this room this morning to rise, for bone to be joined to bone, ligament to be joined to ligament, muscle to grow on those bones, skin to cover, tender organs, breath, and nostrils, and lungs, hearts beating. There's a time that each of us were not a people, but you have gathered us here today as your people, as new creations. Old things have passed away. All things.